And of course, this is exemplified in real estate, in the position of the farmer, who is able to use his own resources to fulfill all the needs of his family. And that's very much an ideal for Jefferson, that a man can stand on his 2 feet needing no one else, and that it's only that sort of a figure who is above and beyond corruption. As he states, "Corruption of morals in the mass of cultivators is a phenomenon of which no age nor nation has furnished an example. Dependence begets subservience and venality. It suffocates the germ of virtue and prepares fit tools for the designs of ambition." He writes to John Jay in 1785, "We have now lands enough to employ an infinite number of people in their cultivation. Cultivators of the earth are the most valuable citizens. They are the most vigorous, the most independent, the most virtuous, and they are tied to the country and wedded to its liberty and interests by the most lasting bonds, because real estate does fix you in the soil. It does fix you in locality." And this is an important theme for Jefferson. It's not just that one lives in the rhythms of nature as a farmer. It's also that one be tied one's interests and affections to one's political community. Well, Jefferson's agrarianism has distinctly negative implications for urban America and urban American development. He states, "Generally speaking, the proportion which the aggregate of the other classes of citizens in any state to that of its husbandmen is the proportion of its unsound to its healthy parts, the urban being the unsound, the agrarian the healthy, and is a good enough barometer whereby to measure its degree of corruption. The mobs of great cities add just so much to the support of pure government as sores do to the strength of the human body." And indeed, it's not just merchant nabobs that he objects to, or what he will call the canaille of cities, the mobs. It's even artisans, who are certainly the urban equivalent of the yeoman, right? An artisan is a self-employed person who owns his own tools. Even he is not someone who Jefferson can acknowledge as a virtuous citizen. Again, he writes to Jay, "I consider the class of artisans as the panders of vice and the instruments by which the liberties of a country are generally overturned." So we've seen an important part of Jefferson's agrarianism is this notion of independence, the Whig cult of independence, the notion that only the family farmer has the means to supply his own needs and to stand as an independent figure in his political community. Another element of the agrarianism that I mentioned is this primitivism. What do we mean by primitivism? Well, it's a doctrine associated with Rousseau, in contrast to most other figures of the Enlightenment, who argued that the progress of science, culture, and commerce was an agency of human uplift. Rousseau argued just the opposite, that the advance of science, arts, letters, commerce, and cities had in fact debauched humanity. That the more simple man, the man of nature, the primitive, the savage, was in fact morally superior and happier. And Jefferson embraces this, particularly when he talks about the Native Americans, or as he calls them, Aborigines. "Their only controls are their manners, and that moral sense of right and wrong," and again we're back to that language of moral sense, "that moral sense of right and wrong, which like the sense of tasting and feeling, in every man makes a part of his nature. An offense against these is punished by contempt, by exclusion from society, or, where the case is serious, as that of murder, by the individuals whom it concerns." Now, this is a very deep point, because in 100 years after this, anthropologists will begin to actually draw this inference that prior to our organized and articulate urban societies, which are based on guilt, previous communities had used shame as the primary means of enforcing moral order. And Jefferson presciently picks that up. As he states, "Imperfect as this species of coercion may seem, crimes are very rare among them. Insomuch that were it made a question whether no law as among the savage Americans, or too much law as among the civilized Europeans, submits man to the greatest evil, one who has seen both conditions of existence would pronounce it to be the last. And that the sheep are happier of themselves than under the care of the wolves." And that's an important theme in Jefferson's thought. He needs to see America as a middle ground between the extreme primitivism of the savage, which he knows in no way can be sustained by Americans' desire for commerce and for the finer things of life. On the other hand, he doesn't want to allow it to reach the level of decadence and corruption he sees in Europeans' highly articulated societies.